The third case for oral argument this morning is Cindy Kennedy, appellant, versus Mtron Industries and Travelers, Appalachia. For the appellant, we have Mr. Dennis Finch, an attorney from Rapid City. And for the Appalachians, we have Ms. Camila Thieler, an attorney from Sioux Falls. Justice Sabers has disqualified himself on this case. And when that happens, then we appoint a replacement justice to sit in their stead, and we have appointed a former justice of this court, the Honorable Robert Miller, to sit in Justice Sabers' place for this case. Mr. Finch, you may proceed, sir, and you have 20 minutes.
Thank you. May it please the court this morning, Mr. Chief Justice, honorable members of the court, esteemed counsel. I'm reminded that 36 years ago today, I was in this court for the first time, and most of these folks back here weren't alive at that time, but we still have a wonderful system in place, and it's a pleasure to be back here in this court. What we have before you today is a workers' compensation case that's been appealed. The Department of Labor decided against me, and the Circuit Court affirmed. So this is the final step in the process of reviewing this case. As you know, your scope of review is that you do you can review this case without any presumption that the Circuit Court was correct in its determination. Also, I believe it's our assertion that this is a mixed question of fact and law, and therefore you can review the case. It's fully reviewable on a de novo basis.
For the benefit of the audience, could you give us some factual background, please?
I'm sorry?
For the benefit of the audience, could you give us some factual background so that they know what this case is about?
Certainly, yes. This is a workers' compensation case involving my client who was injured on the job, sustained a neck injury, was on workers' compensation benefits for a period of time, returned to work, and then the case proceeded to a point where the insurance carrier stopped benefits. We filed what's called a petition for hearing with the South Dakota Department of Labor, which is the state agency in charge of administering workers' compensation cases when they're in dispute. The case was actually presented to the South Dakota Department of Labor to an administrative law judge, which is similar to a court trial. And the judge there, the administrative law judge, entered a decision, and then the matter was appealed to Circuit Court. The dispute is really over whether or not my client's continued problems with her neck were a result of that injury or the result of some other cause. And so what we come down to here and what was presented to the department was essentially a battle of expert opinions. The workers' compensation law requires that when there is a question of causation, that it be left to medical experts to give opinions to the department to make that decision, because it's not an area where lay people can make the opinion. Having said that, as I indicated earlier, I think that this is a case of mixed questions of fact and law, which then allows, under our appellate rules, under our Administrative Procedures Act, this court to fully review all of the evidence. There's no real dispute in terms of the historical facts. My client, the claimant in this case, Cindy Kennedy, had a neck injury that sustained at work on January 24th of 2001. She had had no neck problems prior to that injury. She had a pre-employment physical, which will become an important point that I want to discuss later, but she had a pre-employment physical before she went to work for this company and passed the physical and was allowed to go to work. She worked for approximately a year and 7 months for that employer and did not go to a doctor for her neck during that time and was essentially pain-free. She did develop chronic pain in her neck after January 24th of 2001. Now, she'd been doctoring with Dr. Curtis Mark, who was a private family practitioner physician in the town of Vallon, for quite a number of years, as the record reflects. And he was the first doctor that she went to after she had developed this neck pain. He said that he thought this neck pain was due to her work duties and took her off work for a period of time. The employer then chose to send her to a Dr. Kerr, who was the company doctor in Yankton, and his records, you can see, agree with Dr. Mark that the pain was being caused by her work duties. Then he attempted to get her back to work. She tried to go back to work and was unable to sustain her work duties and developed continued pain. So the employer then chose to send her to Sioux Falls to Dr. Jerry Blow, and he treated her for quite a period of time, actually saw her for about 8 visits. She underwent some physical therapy and didn't seem to be getting any better, so either he or Dr. Mark, I can't recall for sure, ordered an MRI of her neck. That MRI showed cervical cord compression and neuroforaminal narrowing. That shows up in the MRI record. Now, the question of law, those are the facts. The question of law is, of course, whether that neck injury that she sustained at work served as a major contributing cause of her continuing pain complaints and inability to work. Arguably, that's a question of fact. Causation is typically looked at as a question of fact, but since the question has to be resolved by medical expert opinion, then I think where the real question comes in is the foundation of those medical expert opinions has to be looked at, and that foundation is clearly, in my view, a question of law. What I'm asking this court to do essentially is revisit the case of Engel versus Prostrello Motors, which is cited at page 11 of our brief. And essentially, this case is very similar to Prostrello or Engel, however you want to phrase it. In that case, this court was confronted with the battle of experts, much like we have here. The result was a little different, but the principles of law are the same. Essentially, in this case, it came down to a battle between Dr. Curtis Mark, the claimant's longtime physician, and Dr. Jeff Luther, an IME doctor, who saw the claimant one time at the request of insurer. And according to my client's husband, who testified, and his testimony is in the record, he timed this visit and said it was about 25 minutes. Dr. Luther testified that he thought it was 51 minutes, but regardless, it was a short period of time in comparison to the years and many times that she had seen Dr. Mark. Dr. Mark opined that her neck pain was caused by the work injury. He further opined that she had suffered severe, chronic, and debilitating pain. He had known and treated her for a long period of time. He wrote a summary letter in June of 1996 that's in the record, June 25th, 1996, a summary of his treatment of her over the years. And he specifies several problems for which he had seen her, and there's no mention of any neck problems. He also testified that she was a compliant patient, which is another issue that I want to mention a little later. Dr. Kerr, as I said, first saw her at the request of the employer, and in his record, he says he agreed with Dr. Mark on the causation issue. He said at the end of his treatment of her that she needed to change jobs. She tried to go back, and it didn't work, and he suggested that she needed to change jobs. Dr. Blow, the second doctor who saw the claimant at the request of the employer, he suggested in his records that the MRI findings were more age-related, but he did give her a permanent impairment and also some permanent work restrictions, which were to avoid chronic neck flexion, which was what she was doing at the employer, bent over a microscope. I think it's obvious from his notes and from the records that he dismissed her from his care because he thought she was non-compliant. And I mention that because I think Dr. Mark testified that he always found her over the years to be a compliant patient. There's a dispute between the parties, and it's contained in both briefs, that as to why she stopped her physical therapy treatments that were directed by Dr. Blow. Well, she lives in Vaughan. Dr. Blow's in Sioux Falls. It's a 40-mile one-way trip, She testified that in part she stopped it because she didn't think it was doing her any good. But her second reason was that she couldn't afford to keep making these trips to Sioux Falls for this treatment because at that point the insurer had cut off her benefits and cut off payment, and she simply couldn't afford to pay for this treatment. So then we get to the litigation stage at that point, and the employer then hires Dr. Luther to do the independent medical examination. Again, as I said, he saw her one time. His testimony indicates that he does 10 to 15 of these IMEs a month, approximately 80% of those for insurance companies. He spent 25 minutes with my client in accordance with what her husband timed. He says 51 minutes. Again, it's a short time in either event.
And there, the significance of that is?
Well, I think the significance is that my client's doctor treated her for years and years and saw her on many occasions for a lengthy period of time. And this doctor only saw her for a short period of time. And I think the significance of it is, I think, just a one-time, one-shot event versus long-time treating. Okay. And this court has consistently over the years, Your Honor, given deference, or at least some deference, to treating physicians because of their contact with the claimant. And I think in Engle, that was precisely the case.
I assume you argued that both to the administrative law judge and the circuit court. Same argument?
Yes, I did.
So do we have any clue why that was not followed by either the administrative law judge or the circuit court?
I think the administrative law judge made a clear mistake in adopting Dr. Luther because they overlooked, as you can see by the decision, overlooked the lack of foundation on several points. Dr. Luther admitted on cross-examination by me that he did not know that she had had a pre-employment physical. That's in the transcript, in the record. He did not know that she had been pain-free for the year and 7 months that she worked for the employer. And then he said in his testimony, in his opinion part, that her pain was entirely subjective and that there was nothing objective to substantiate the pain. And yet this MRI, which he makes reference to in his report, shows cord compression and neuroforaminal narrowing. And when I asked him specifically about those two points, in both cases, in both instances, he admitted that those are items that can cause pain. So, going back to Engle again, at page 11 of our brief, we quoted from Engle, and interestingly, or ironically, I guess Dr. Blow was involved in that case, and he testified, or the court pointed out that Dr. Blow went on to testify that he did not believe that her description of the level of pain was consistent with her physical examination. Well, Dr. Luther said that in this case. This, again, a quote from Engle. At the same time, he, referring to Dr. Blow, also agreed that it is very difficult to measure pain and it is best left to those who deal with the patient on a regular basis. And this goes back to my point with Justice Miller, is that Dr. Mark dealt with this patient on a regular basis. He was her personal physician. He had treated her for years and years, from the time she was a child and on through this injury. So clearly, he is that local person that Dr. Blow is describing in the Engle case. And therefore, I think the department's reliance on the opinions of Dr. Luther was not only clearly erroneous, but I think an error of law because his opinions lacked the necessary foundation. And I cited the Podio case in my brief as well, and I think the court's seen that case cited numerous times in workers' compensation cases. And what it stands for, basically, is that an expert's opinion is no better than the facts upon which it relies on. And Dr. Luther didn't have all of the facts. And he apparently was unwilling, at least, to acknowledge that this MRI finding was an objective finding in her case, even though he said they were objective findings on cross-examination and admitted that those are findings that could cause pain. So it's our view that the, again, that the department's reliance on the opinions of Dr. Luther is clearly erroneous and an error of law. And we would ask that this court reverse the finding and remand it to the Department of Labor, because the secondary issue was whether or not my client was disabled due to this chronic problem. And they didn't reach that issue because they found that her current condition was not caused by the work injury.
Is it significant in reviewing the record that Dr. Mark is a family practitioner, a GP, whereas these other physicians, including Luther, have specialties? Is that something that a fact finder is entitled to take a look at?
Certainly they are, and in fact that was one of the comments in Engle as well. The court there found that there was some difference between the credentials, or they commented on the credentials, and I'm glad that you asked that question, because I think that, again, the department neglected to, or they overreached on that determination that Dr. Luther is any more qualified by credentials than Dr. Mark. Dr. Mark had a lot more experience than Dr. Luther. He was a board-certified family practitioner. Dr. Luther, on the other hand, is board-certified in internal medicine and emergency medicine, which I don't think is any more of a specialty than a family practitioner. Those particular specialties do not necessarily get involved in dealing with causation of neck injuries any more than a family practitioner does. So I don't think his credentials were any more or at any higher level necessarily. Now, he also, in his testimony, indicated that he was board certified, or that he was certified as an independent examiner. But if you read his testimony on cross-examination, I asked him about that certification, and he admitted that that's something he got from a four-month course. So it's not really a board certification in the same sense that a board certification of a recognized specialty by the American Medical Association.
You did explore that in the record, that the significance of the certified medical, independent medical evaluator.
Yes.
What that really means.
Yes, I did. And that's, I think, I don't have the exact citation, but it's in
we'll find it.
It's in the cross-examination of Dr. Luther, and it's not all that long. So I see my time is about up. I don't have anything else to say at this point.
Is it significant this injury was a gradual injury as opposed to an event that happened? Or isn't that what some of the testimony is as far as Luther is concerned?
I think that's accurate, but there were these MRI findings of a cord compression and a neuroforaminal narrowing, which is basically puts pressure on the spinal cord, and that can be a pain causer. And when she tried to go back to work, which I think is probably the best evidence of what was going on, she tried to go back to work, and she just couldn't handle it. She worked for half a day and ended up going home with neck pain. And again, physical therapy, although, and that's something else I should have pointed out earlier, the physical therapy was always a suggested modality, but she couldn't afford to pay for it on her own, and when the insurance carrier cut off benefits, she stopped the physical therapy. But Dr. Mark testified unequivocally that she was always compliant when he wanted her to take on medical care that he suggested.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
Ms. Steeler, you have 20 minutes.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Annie Steeler, and I'm here on behalf of the employer in this case, Mtron Industries, and the insurer, Travelers Insurance. And if I could just start by responding to Justice Meyer Henry's question, whether the department took into consideration the fact, the doctors out there and the restrictions that were given to Ms. Kennedy. And I think the appellant has done a nice job in trying to frame this issue up as Dr. Mark, her family physician, versus Dr. Luther, the IME, independent medical evaluation doctor that the insurance company had. There were four doctors in this case that actually treated her. Dr. Kerr and Dr. Blow were in between Dr. Mark and Dr. Luther. And Dr. Kerr and Dr. Blow both examined her and released her to return to work with restrictions. And Dr. Blow's testimony, or Dr. Blow's medical records show that he felt that the changes that she was having and the problems she was having were more age-related than related to her work injury in this case. And so I would respectfully submit that it's not an issue of whether we should just listen to Dr. Mark or just listen to Dr. Luther. When the department viewed the medical evidence in this case, the department viewed all of those records, and her findings of fact and conclusions of law are clear that she did recognize that all of those doctors had treated her and that all of those doctors had released her to return to work in this case, some with restrictions and some without. And even Dr. Mark, her family doctor, said, if we could find the right situation for her, we think that she would be able to go back to work. There's one other thing I'd like to point out that wasn't mentioned, is that Ms. Kennedy has a long history of anxiety and depression. And in addition to the doctors that we've already talked about, there were two psychological evaluations that are submitted as a part of the record. And in those evaluations, it talks about her ability to perform everyday tasks and to perform occupational tasks. And this is something the appellant claims we're throwing in as a red herring, but I really don't think that's what it is. And when the department reviewed the case, including these records, the department said it's clear that there are two pre-existing conditions in this case, her psychological condition and her physical condition. And the psychological condition was a dysmythic disorder, I think some depression, and it's in the record clearly if I'm not pronouncing it correctly. The physical condition she had were the degenerative changes, and so the department did recognize those and took it into consideration when she made her decision. The other thing I'd just like to point out is with the standard of review in this case, issues of causation and workers' compensation are factual issues that are usually determined under the clearly erroneous standard, and we think that's the standard that should be used in this case. And so I would hope that the court, in examining it, would look at the evidence that the department examined in order to support her decision, and I think there was substantial evidence in this case. Aside from the review of all the medical records, the department had the opportunity to listen to the claimant testify live and Dr. Luther testify live. And I think that's really important. I also think that the department didn't ignore that a work injury actually took place. Ms. Kennedy did suffer a work injury from bending over the microscope, but the department found that when she weighed all of the medical evidence and testimony on the record, it was clear that her injury at work was not a major contributing cause to her current claimed condition. The department also looked at Ms. Kennedy's noncompliance with physical therapy, and Mr. Finch is correct. We've argued about this before on every level. Ms. Kennedy has testified that she chose to discontinue her physical therapy because she did not feel it was helping. She has also testified that she discontinued it because the insurance company quit paying. The other thing that the department found was that...
How much weight did the ALJ place on that she had discontinued her therapy?
I think the department found that it was very important, and she also included some quotes from Dr. Luther where he talked about how important it is when you're a part of a therapy program to complete it, because you can be causing more damage to yourself if you don't complete it.
In answer to Justice Meyer-Henry's question, did they enter? I didn't see a finding or a conclusion on that. Did I miss it?
On the physical therapy?
Mm-hmm.
I think they did, but do you want me to look and see?
I can find it.
Okay.
I just had not seen that.
I know it's referenced in the findings of fact.
Thank you.
The other thing that I'd like to address, the appellant is really trying to attack the credibility of Dr. Luther in this situation, and Dr. Luther is a certified independent medical examiner. He also has a separate internal medicine practice. He does IMEs, second opinions, impairment and disability ratings. Before he had his own clinic, he worked for Avera as an occupational physician. He's board certified in internal medicine and emergency medicine. and he does physical exams. He reviewed the records, and in this case, he did a review of the records. This is one other issue. When Dr. Luther testified at the hearing, he testified that he wasn't aware that a pre-employment physical had been done. And that's correct. That's what he testified. The pre-employment physical in this case has never been a part of the record, so it's not before you today. The only evidence that we have of it is Ms. Kennedy's own testimony that it took place. Also, Dr. Luther testified at the hearing that he was not aware that Dr. Blow and Dr. Kerr had given Ms. Kennedy restrictions. And he testified that, but he also testified that he had reviewed all of the medical records that had been provided to him, and Dr. Kerr and Dr. Blow's medical records included the restrictions that he looked at. So I just would encourage the court to review the department's findings, because I feel that the department did an excellent job of looking at all of the evidence presented and making a determination based on that. And unless you have any other questions, I know I spoke fast, but we would ask that this court affirm the decision.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Finch, you have 10 minutes, sir.
I would just briefly like to address a few of the comments of Ms. Thieler in her argument. First of all, Dr. Kerr, if you look at the medical records, which are an exhibit, I think they were denoted Exhibit 1, Dr. Kerr wrote a letter to the employer dated April 4th of 2001. And in that letter, he reports his findings and summarizes, and he says in his plan, find other work that doesn't stimulate the same area. I wish her good fortune in finding a new job. So he's telling the employer, and he's their doctor, that she needs to get away from this microscope work and find another job. In reference to whether or not Dr. Mark said that she could work, and again, we didn't really get to the disability issue, but in answer to a question on cross-examination at page 45 in his deposition, he says she could function in a job if we could get the right situation for her, you know, where she doesn't have to do manual labor, can move about, not too many hours, she probably could function. So I think it's a little unrealistic to suggest that she can run out and find a job under those conditions. The issue of depression did come up. It was an established fact that she was on Social Security disability when she went to work for Amtron Industries because of a long-standing problem for depression. There's two psychological evaluations in the record, one from Sioux Valley Hospital and one from a Dr. Van Clay. And the one from Sioux Valley Hospital by Dr. Ferguson was done in 1995. Well before she went to work for this employer. And the other one by Dr. Van Clay was done in 2002. And Dr. Van Clay says at the end of the report, quote, her current condition appears to be relatively unchanged when comparing her functioning to that which she presented during an evaluation conducted in 1995. So roughly a year after this injury, she has an updated psychological evaluation by Social Security disability, and her condition for depression is unchanged.
But that's not work-related.
No, and we never said that it was. I mean, really, that's why I said it's kind of a red herring, because to suggest that the depression is the cause of her current problems, we never asserted that. The cause of her problems were the neck injury that she sustained at work. In an answer to Justice Miller's question, conclusion of Law 12, which is, I think, attached, well, the decision is attached as an appendix to our brief. Conclusion of Law 12 says, the medical evidence also shows that claimant's noncompliance with her physical therapy negatively affected her recovery. So the department did use that testimony by Dr. Luther and others that her noncompliance with physical therapy affected. So it had an impact on the decision, clearly. Again, I think it's a revisit the Engel case in reverse order, because there the claimant prevailed And I would ask that you reverse this decision, remand it for a question, or on the question of disability. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Finch. Court will be in recess.